Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course the views of our callers, and tonight, of course, we're having with us Dave Von Kleist from the Power Hour. We're going to be talking, about a new program he's working on, about his DVD in plain sight, and this new one that's coming along the line. And, of course, I want to mention to our listeners that Dave is going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. It's going to be held in Santa Clara on the weekend, I believe, of May 25th and 26th. And anybody who'd like more information can simply go up on the Internet and Google in conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com. And certainly Dave's going to be one of the featured speakers there. How are you tonight, Dave?
I'm just wonderful, and how are you, Stan?
I'm doing as well as can be expected under the circumstances of what's going on in the world. But tell me, you are putting together a new program, a new DVD?
Yes, we're in the final production stages right now, the sequel to 9/11 in Plain Sight. And this will be entitled 9/11 Ripple Effect. And for those of you that would like to sign up for an alert as soon as it's released, you can visit 911RippleEffect.com. And that website will soon be updated. Right now it's just a bare-bones website with a graphic there and a place for you to sign up and get an email alert. But we will be putting clips up there in the near future so you can see what this particular project is all about. And it's not just the video clips anymore. Now I'm sure that a lot of the listeners out there are probably aware of the 9/11 in Plain Sight project. It's been out now for about 2.5 years. It's been seen by military officers, airline pilots, professionals in all walks of life. And many of them are now coming forward and realizing that some of the, and expressing that some of the information on that in Plain Sight project is something that needs to be looked at rather than shunned. And that seems to be the standard technique by some of the folks that don't want some of these issues addressed.
Well, for those of you who don't know, Dave put out about a couple of years ago a DVD entitled In Plain Sight. That's P-L-A-N-E, Airplane. And it was really an excellent DVD. In fact, we carry it, and we have sold those all over the world. We have really one of our most popular DVDs. It's a lot more popular than most I've made, and it has a tremendous amount of information, very provocative. So how is your new DVD going to differ from In Plain Sight?
Well, as I mentioned, it's been 2.5 years now since In Plain Sight came out. And since that time, as I mentioned, we have a virtual legion of airline pilots that we've interviewed, one of which is Glenn Stanish. He is a current and active airline pilot for Continental. We've also spoken with Fred Fox, who was retired now, but he was an airline pilot for American Airlines for about 23 years, I believe it is. And we've also spoken with Russ Wittenberg, who flew for United Airlines. In fact, he actually flew flights 175 and 93. We've also spoken with a two-star general, Albert Stubblebein, who for 30 years was in charge of photo analysis at the Pentagon. We also spoke with Colonel George Nelson from MilitaryCorruption.com. He was an ABC and UPI military correspondent for years. And we've also spoken with Colonel George Nelson, who for 30 years was with the Air Force, and he identified aircraft and aircraft parts as a profession.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, Dave, go ahead, pick the story up there. So basically, it's going to really be consisting of a lot of interviews with people who know the aircraft industry, and they think that there's something very strange about the pictures that we have of what happened on that Tuesday morning.
Well, absolutely, and it is their conclusion. It's no longer just my conclusion. It's also their conclusion that after reviewing with a critical eye and an open mind After reviewing these video clips and photographs that we see of this plane slamming into the South Tower, they have come to the conclusion that it could not have been Flight 175 for some very obvious reasons. And again, for those of you that have seen 9/11 in plain sight, I'm sure you all know that we're talking about the pod, the very hotly debated issue. Actually, I shouldn't say it's hotly debated. It's actually any debate on the issue has actually been shunned. There are some folks in the 9/11 truth community that don't want this particular issue discussed because it is so far outside of the official story that they apparently feel that that any discussion of it would discredit any other research that is also valid. But I beg to differ with them. There are some folks that have tried to make the argument that any discussion of pods or of course the flash, and you know what I'm talking about, the flash, the flash that was seen just as the plane was about to enter the building. And it was seen not just on the South Tower plane, but also the North Tower plane, the plane that we were told was Flight 11. And those two anomalies, the flash and the pod, are subjects that have been somewhat, like I said, shunned, but any discussion on it has been taboo because some folks feel that particular topic is going to discredit all the other research into controlled demolitions and somehow takes away from the argument of controlled demolitions. And with that, I disagree very strongly. And for those that are out there listening, and you probably have heard the argument that's been made by many about whether or not there were controlled demolitions, charges placed inside the North Tower, the South Tower, and in Building 7. Well, the first thing I would ask is that if we're dealing with a controlled demolition scenario, and we're going to consider the official story that involved 19 Arab hijackers, or 15 of them were said to be Arabs, but 19 Islamic extremists that hijacked these planes, then we have to ask the question, what connection would the planes have with the demolitions? Now, we all know that to have a controlled demolition, this isn't something that you do in 15 minutes or maybe an hour or two before you plan to bring a building down. I mean, this is something that takes weeks of planning. The charges have
hold
to be...
Hold that thought right there. David, we'll be back in just a moment with it. Hold that. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest today is Dave Von Kleist, who's going to be appearing at the Conspiracy Conference on the weekend of the 25th and 26th of May. That's this month, and it's going to be in the Santa Clara area in California. If you're in the area and you'd like to know more about it, you may want to just go to your computer or call conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com, www.conspiracycon.com. Or certainly if you want more information, you can always call our 800 number. We'll get back to you with a number to call to get your reservation. But Dave is going to be one of the speakers there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to have a booth, but I'm one of the honored guests, but I'm not going to be speaking. However, we always enjoy hearing what they have to say. There's some people there that are very far out that we would disagree with. There are going to be a lot of good speakers there this time. Our good friend Ed Griffin's going to be there, and certainly Dave, and a number of people that we've had on our programs before. So we think that you need to see the other side. The reason I go to these is because there needs to be somebody there who will speak out for Christianity and will point out that so much of what's going on is a spiritual battle, already, of course, very, very dark forces aligned against the traditional Christian belief. Well, Dave is simply talking about what happened on the morning of 9/11 and his first DVD, In Plain Sight, which is, how many of those have you put out, Dave?
Oh, gosh, I have no way of knowing. I would probably say somewhere around 60,000, 70,000. I mean, I'd like to say we crossed the 100,000 mark, but I don't think we're that close to that. We're not that far away, but we're not that close either.
We certainly
didn't have the same impact that, say, Loose Change has had. Loose Change has gone absolutely crazy all over the world, and now Sophia Schafquat has produced a very, very well done documentary entitled 9/11 Mysteries. And it's highly recommended. That's a very, very well put together analysis of the collapse of the of the North to South Tower and Building 7.
Well, actually, we do carry your DVD. We carry the 9/11 Mysteries. We carry 9/11, Something for the Truth, anyway, Plea for the Truth, I think it is. Anyway, we carry five of them, and yours is certainly one right there, Terror Storm, and then The Day That Changed the World Forever. So we think that yours is right up there along with the 9/11 Mysteries, which we do carry. But
well, we're hoping that the new video, 9/11 Ripple Effect, will have exactly that type of effect, a ripple effect. I know it's going to ruffle some feathers, not just in the mainstream media, because it is an absolute indictment of the mainstream media. We have many different blatant examples on how information was manipulated, massaged, edited, and ignored. And there is no escape clause, shall we say, or any explanation that they can offer to explain away how some of these news stories were handled. And as far as the signature topic of 9/11 in plain sight, of course, we follow up with that with many of the testimonies from the experts that I mentioned before we went off to the commercial break. Military experts, airline pilots, scientists, researchers, et cetera, that have seen this video footage and now concur that the plane that hit the South Tower could not have been Flight 175. And again, that idea, that concept of a substituted plane is absolutely repugnant not only to those that are basically standing by the official story, but many of the 9/11 researchers or members of the 9/11 truth community itself are having a problem with that because, of course, the hijackers, the hijacker story is being adhered to by many of the 9/11 researchers, and they're basically saying, well, yes, the government had intelligence that this was going to happen, and either through incompetence or mixed messages or dropped balls or whatever, they weren't able to stop this. But the video analysis and the testimony from these experts completely refutes the concept of a simple hijacking and brings to the table an entire new scenario about switched planes.
Dave, we're getting a little sort of gravelly sound. Would you mind if you hung up and I have my producer call you right back?
Sure, if you want, and I can have you call me on a landline if you want.
Mind if we did that? Because it's not as clear as I'd like to have it. So I'm just going to actually put you on hold right now.
Okay.
And have my producer talk to you. Sydney Herman, would you mind talking to Dave and getting the landline number and calling right back? Okay, fine. Well, Chris, the one thing is, the question is, what did happen that morning? Well, of course, the government has a conspiracy theory. The government's conspiracy theory is this, that Osama bin Laden recruited 19 terrorists and, of course, got them to sneak into our country. Nobody had any idea what was going on. They kept it themselves. And then these terrorists eventually hijacked four planes that morning. And despite all of the sophisticated gadgetry we have, despite all the rules and regulations that have always, been able immediately when a plane is hijacked, there are fighter planes in the air. That morning, for some reason, there were no planes to intercept the hijacked planes. There were military exercises going on that morning that simulated hijacked planes. In fact, if you read the article that appeared in Vanity Fair magazine in September of last year, you'll find out that the FAA and NORAD were tracking 29 hijackings that morning. And, of course, even the Flight 11, which supposedly had crashed into the North Tower, after it had crashed into the North Tower and was incinerated, they had evidence that the plane was flying towards Washington, D.C. Obviously, somebody was playing games that morning. But the most significant thing about what happened that morning, and...
Hello?
Yes, are you there, Dave?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, fine. I was just going to tell our listeners, if you watch the buildings come down, they're falling at the speed of gravity. In other words, those buildings, collapse into their own shadows. They do not fall to one side at all. They're collapsing at the speed of gravity. And of course, there are 1,100 bodies that have never been found. And, of course, if they'd been simply crushed by the building pancaking, no way the bodies would have been smashed, but they'd be there. But the bodies aren't there. Where they, I believe that they were vaporized. But how could you vaporize bodies simply by the pancaking effect? Something else happened that morning. I don't know what happened, but I do know we've not been the troll of the truth. But, of course, the clinching fact on the story of what happened that morning, or I should say that afternoon, was what happened to Building 7 at 5:20 in the afternoon, a building a block away from the Twin Towers that had not been hit by anything significant. Building 7 comes down in the typical controlled demolition fashion. You can actually see this on the Internet if you Google in Building 7 video. That's Building 7 video. And watch the building come down. First of all, the center of the roof of the building collapses downward. That is what you do when you're going to have a controlled demolition. Because if you don't take out the central support, then the building falls to the side and, of course, breeds debris every place. But if you want the building to crash into its own shadow, you destroy the central supports first, and the center buckles, and then the base of the building disappears. And that's exactly what happened to Building 7. It was obviously a controlled demolition. I've talked to people there who were there the following day who said 99% chance it was a controlled demolition, and that's in our four-tape set entitled, Why Did the Buildings Come Down? That's a four-tape set, Why Did the Buildings Come Down? Fascinating interviews. But Dave is telling us, of course, that obviously there's a great deal of dissension. I believe there are people planted by the intelligence agencies or whoever it was who brought the buildings down within the conservative movement, within the 9/11 movement, to create dissension, to create discords, and basically to get so much information and confusion and arguing back and forth that we are incapable of thinking clearly about what happened that morning. Do you have that feeling, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. The American people have been continually dumbed down and bombarded with propaganda from the mainstream media to force them, force-feed them, I should say, the official story, to the point now where a recent poll a few months back came to the conclusion that 52% of Americans have never even heard of Building 7. Or if they did, they didn't remember anything about it. And so very slowly and incrementally, any details about September 11th are being purged from the American psyche. As a matter of fact, many Americans can't even remember what year it was. They know September 11th, but they don't know it was 2001. So the whole point of this is to get this information back into the eyes of Americans to help them to understand exactly what's happened, because there is no doubt and no argument that the mainstream media has manipulated and controlled the dissemination of information to the point where people just don't know right from wrong anymore. They don't know what's real and what isn't. And that's why the sequel to 9/11 in Plain Sight is going to throw this information back into the eyes and the minds of Americans and also those in the 9/11 truth community. There was a point that I wanted to make here about this flash in the pod, because there are diametrically opposed groups in the 9/11 truth movement that obviously are not very happy about this information. Now, I think that if we play a little role-playing here for just a moment, and for the listeners that are out there that have heard about the controlled demolition argument, I'd like to have you just sort of raise your hands if you believe that the buildings came down by controlled demolitions. So I know that there are a lot of hands out there, theoretically, that are up. Well, again, we have to ask the question, what role did the planes play? Because if the planes were hijacked, then that would mean that the hijackers would have to have been involved with the collapse of the buildings or the controlled demolition. There's only two scenarios that the hijackers could have. Number one, if we believe...
Well, I'm going to have you hold that thought, because we're going to have to go to a break, and I have no control over it. It's all in the computer's hands. Go right ahead, Dave.
Okay. The question is, if the buildings were brought down by controlled demolitions, we have to ask the question.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iOtterol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Northwood, the plan, formerly top secret, contrived by the Joint Chiefs of Staff in 1962 as to an excuse to get us into a war with Cuba. How would you get us into a war with Cuba in 1962? You'd have to convince the American people there'd been a terrible atrocity committed. And so what the Joint Chiefs of Staff planned, and there were many, many alternatives, but one of the plans was to take a airliner and fill it up with what would appear to be students going home to South America on the holidays. to fly the plane towards Cuba, to land the plane and put another plane up in its place that would look just exactly the same, to fly it over Cuba, and then to explode the plane after putting out a mayday saying that they were under attack by Fidel Castro's jets. And the American people would be so angry because they would have thought that Fidel had killed all of these Americans, that the American people would be willing to go to war. That's Operation Northwood, and we have a complete set of these very, very valid. It's absolutely, was initially a top-secret document, but it is available, and you can get on the Internet or on our Iraq, the Untold Story syllabus. So pick up the story there, Dave.
Well, basically, that is the story in a nutshell. The Northwoods document spells out this plan for creating a terrorist attack to blame on someone else. Now, we also know that that the powers that be don't have a problem with sacrificing the lives of our military. You can ask almost any veteran that served in Vietnam or in the first Gulf War or now in the second wave, in the second Gulf War. I think the veterans will tell you exactly what their feelings are on how their government, or shall I say, how the Department of Defense treats them, or how the VA treats them after they have, shall we say, outlived their usefulness. And also, when we look at history, we now know that Pearl Harbor was not the surprise attack that we were all told it was. There was intelligence. There are many military individuals. Lieutenant Commander Ken Landis has written a book entitled The Pearl Harbor Deception. Is it the Pearl Harbor or Deception of Pearl Harbor? I can't remember the title of it now. But he explains that they did have intelligence well within the given amount of time to be able to alert our men and women in uniform at Pearl Harbor, but they... War with an enemy that doesn't have a country, that doesn't have a uniform or a flag, an enemy that can strike at will on any corner of the globe, and a war that, as Dick Cheney has said, could go on for decades. Well, I could tell you, I'm sure that the champagne corks were popping after September 11th, and all the defense contractors got in. Line with their hand out. And they continue to stand there with their hand out. Now, there are some people that say that this is a war for freedom, as George Bush said. Well, I have two arguments against that. First of all, our freedoms are not legislated away by Osama bin Laden or the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or the Republican Guard or Saddam Hussein. When we lose our freedoms, we lose them because the men and women that are serving in Congress and in our Senate and in the White House all legislate our rights and our freedoms away. That's the real war on freedom right there. And second of all, they say it's a war for freedom. No, it's a war for money and for profits. And when we come back from the break, I'll give you a perfect example of how Halliburton is raking America over the coals.
Well, I would simply point out that I can remember in the mid-1990s when a friend of mine pointed out that a new corporation, it was called Carlyle. And, of course, Carlyle was James Baker III, Frank Carlucci of President Bush, Henry Kissinger, they had just formed this corporation. The first thing they did was buy the rights to produce the Bradley fighting vehicle. Now, why would anybody want to do that in the mid-1990s? Unless you knew there was going to be a war in the Middle East, where they'd need a lot of those. They bought the howitzer as well. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dave von Kleist, and we're talking about the fact that the war in the Middle East was planned long ahead of time. And those of you who have any questions about that need, of course, to read my newsletters, August through December of 2006. They're available on the Internet, free of charge. Read them. Find out that Richard Haass, who today is president of the Council on Foreign Relations, was writing back in 1996 about the coming terrorist attacks, about the long lines to get into government buildings, the long lines going to the airport and being there, and, of course, all the increased government regulation and control. And if you read what Condoleezza Rice told the 911 Commission, when she was asked, well, why, knowing something was going to happen, didn't you do anything, in the way of trying to avoid the attack? And Condoleezza Rice said, and I'm just sort of paraphrasing it, she said, well, we couldn't do anything because, well, we needed an incident that would cause people to be willing to accept more government regulation, to accept more monitoring of their various aspects of their life. We needed an incident. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, they got an incident. Now, why didn't anybody ever tell you that? If you'd like to read my newsletters, we use that exact quotation. We can send it to you for a testimony before the 911 Commission, or certainly the pages out of the book written by Thomas Keene and by Lee Hamilton, the co-chairman of the 911 Commission, entitled Without Precedent is the book. And on page 181, you'll see that quotation from Condoleezza Rice. Well, we needed an incident, is what she said. We needed an incident where people would be then willing to accept increased government regulation and control. And that's what 911 was all about. When you understand it was all planned ahead of time. And if you doubt that, let me suggest a book. It was written by Robert Baer. It's called See No Evil. Robert Baer was with the CIA for many years. And of course, if you read his book and you actually read the final statement, in the preface, he quotes a CIA official who said, "When the dust finally clears, Americans will see that September 11th was a triumph for the intelligence community, not a failure." This is, if you want the book, we have it. When the dust finally clears, Americans will see September 11th was a triumph for the intelligence community, not a failure. Well, this is Dr. Stan, so go ahead, Dave. Pick the story up there.
Right. Well, we were just talking about how the government contractors are making money hand over fist with this so-called war on terror. And I wanted to give us as an example. I mean, first of all, we all know that there are hundreds of military contractors over there doing jobs that should normally be delegated to the United States military. Now, when you have military operations, but the personnel performing those operations are there because they're paid to do it, you're no longer dealing with a military force, you're dealing with a mercenary force. And unfortunately, America has very slowly and incrementally been conditioned to accept this type of a scenario. So instead of having some private driving a truck from point A to point B, they hire a contractor to drive the truck from point A to point B, and instead of paying military pay, they end up paying tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or in some case, millions of dollars to do a job that shouldn't have been done by a contractor at all. And as an example, there was a story that was carried in the Houston Chronicle about a no-bid contract that was awarded to Halliburton for the transport of 82,000 gallons of liquid propane fuel to Baghdad. Question, what would be a legitimate charge for 82,000 gallons of liquid propane cooking fuel to be transported to Baghdad? Well, we need a little bit more information. First of all, it wasn't to transport the fuel from the United States to Baghdad. It was to go from Kuwait to Baghdad, sort of like driving from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, maybe a four-hour drive or something. It was approximately, 300 miles or something like that. I contacted a local propane dealership here, and I asked them what would be a legitimate charge to transport 82,000 gallons of fuel. I asked them how many trucks it would take, and they said approximately 10. I said, okay, if you had to drive 10 trucks approximately 300 miles, what would be a legitimate charge? I was told approximately $1 per mile. So $300 per truck times 10 trucks would be $3,000. I told him, I said, well, this is a government contract. How much would they charge for a government contract? He says, oh, you got to at least double or triple that. So I said, okay, $10,000, would that do it? He says, oh, probably. Ladies and gentlemen, this government contract, no bid contract, awarded to Halliburton, was given to Halliburton for $27.5 million.
But, Dave, you have to understand, Halliburton is paying deferred salary to Dick Cheney, his the vice president of the United States. They've got to be able to raise funds to help out poor old Dick, who's, you know, he, after all, he doesn't make that much as the vice president. He needs to have a little subsidy to his salary, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, I suppose so, if you want to go down that road.
I mean, whoever heard of a vice president of the United States receiving a deferred salary from a company like Halliburton, which he had, of course, been the president of previously, receiving a deferred salary from a company that is getting no-bid contracts from the government? Some people might think that there was a conflict of interest there, but I suppose that you know, some people are just a little paranoid.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because this is a mindset that we have in our government right now, and that is that their money is the most important thing. I mean, even President Bush made this statement. I'll see if I can play this for you.
Let's put it this way. Money trumps peace sometimes.
Did you hear that?
No, it didn't come through very well.
Well, okay. Money trumps peace. Money trumps peace. That's what President Bush said. And this is the mindset of the people that are in charge of our government right here. How can we possibly call this a righteous or a just nation or a nation of truth, justice, and the American way when our priorities are for profits?
Well, but of course there may be other motives besides profits. Certainly certain people are making a lot of money on this. And for our listeners out there who do not know what the contractors are, there are 100,000 contractors, private contractors, employed by private corporations over there, in addition to the 140,000 to 150,000 troops. We don't know what most of them are doing. Members of Congress, members of the intelligence community within Congress, and none of them can find out really what everything's going on or how much is being paid out or who's paying it out, or they don't even know where most of the funds are coming from. This is almost like a secret war that is being fought in Iraq with 100,000 contractors and then 140,000 to 150,000 American troops, and of course this is a smattering of other troops. Any idea that this is a war where we have other countries participating? Well, they may have 100 troops there, they may have 150 troops, they might even have 400 or 500 troops. But it's all window dressing, ladies and gentlemen. This is an American war that is being fought to lose. And unfortunately, we do not have the troops, the equipment, or the military has not been allowed to do what was necessary to win this war at any time. It's Vietnam all over again, but they don't want the American people to know that. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, that's absolutely right, and this is why our priorities in this country are so screwed up and why the only chance that we have to turn this thing around is to shift our priorities. Because, I mean, when you look at it, should the priorities of this country be peace, progress, people? Of course they should, but they're not. The peace or people or progress issues take a back seat to the other big P, which is profits. And that is the only thing that these people understand. And it's, you know, somebody said to me one time, you know, when you find somebody that has an unnatural lust for sex, you call them a pervert. If someone has an unnatural lust for food, you call them a glutton. If someone has an unnatural lust for money and power, you call them successful.
Point well made. Go ahead, David.
Well, this is unfortunately where we are in this country. And unless this changes, there's no hope of being able to pull this out. And when we look at what's going on in the mainstream media to manipulate the minds of Americans, A perfect example. Look what happened this past week. Last Thursday, we had the first Republican debate. 10 candidates, one of which is the black sheep of Congress. Of course, I'm referring to Ron Paul. Now, Ron Paul has been the one Republican congressman that's been a stalwart. He's been fighting for the Constitution. He's been fighting against the Federal Reserve and against the IRS for many years. And how he's remained in Congress, I don't know, but thank God that he has. But he finally has thrown his hat into the ring, and he was one of the participants in the debate this past Thursday night. Now, the polls that followed, and if you go to our website, we've got them posted there. If you go to thepowerhour.com and go to the current news, scroll down a little bit, and you'll see links for all these polls. The MSNBC poll clearly showed Ron Paul way ahead of anybody else. He had 38% of the support of those that were polled. And in second place, with 27%, 11 points behind, was Mitt Romney. We went to the C-SPAN poll. 73% of those polled supported Ron Paul, and in second place with 9% was Mitt Romney. We saw a similar poll. I forget which one this was. I think this was an NBC poll, with 83% for Ron Paul. In other words, across the board, the overwhelming favorite from these debates was Ron Paul. And yet, over this past weekend, there was barely a mention of his name in the mainstream media. They continue to focus on McCain, on Giuliani, on Tommy Thompson, and on Mitt Romney.
Oh, but don't forget that Fred Thompson is out there, of course. He's been employed by NBC for a long period of time. I believe that General Electric, just as Ronald Reagan was kept in the limelight by GE. Why, of course, Fred Thompson's being kept in the limelight, and I suspect that Fred Thompson eventually is going to come forward and put his hat into the ring. I think that he's the sleeper in this, and he looks like a president. He's a very, very convincing actor. I mean, I really like what he has, the part that he plays, but of course, the only person, a man of integrity there, is Ron Paul, because he will not compromise on anything. And I saw that debate, at least the part that Ron Paul hit in that. And Chris, he brought out so many things. He was asked what he'd do the first day, and he said, the first day, I'd get rid of the IRS.
That's right.
And then, of course, he said that the next thing I would do is do away with the inflation tax. He said nobody ever wants to talk about the inflation tax, but inflation is a tax on everything you have, and it's stealing the value of your savings. We've got to get back to a solid back currency, and so the second thing I would do as president, is do away with the inflation tax. Of course, he wants to get us out of Iraq and out of Afghanistan. He believes in fighting to defend America, but we're not fighting to defend America over there. And, there's only probably less than 2,000 al-Qaeda fighting in, at least these are the figures that we have from the Cato Institute and the polls, there are less than 2,000 al-Qaeda fighting in Iraq today. They're not going to follow us home if we pull out. Oh, we are being attacked over there because we are occupying a country, and they ask us to leave. They're pleading with us to leave, and if we don't leave, they're going to continue killing our boys. This is what it's all about. We are occupying that country, and we have no business being there. So go ahead.
Well, that's absolutely right, and this is why the media plays such a big role in this, because without the media constantly banging the drums of war, our country would never have gotten behind this war. And getting back to this issue of Ron Paul and the polls, in a blatant act of manipulation, Fox News, and on their website, they had their own little poll as well. And they asked the question, who do you think won the debate? But you don't get to choose between all 10 candidates. They only put 4 candidates up there for you to choose from: Giuliani, McCain, Romney, and Tommy Thompson. And so they didn't even put Ron Paul or any of the other candidates there. This is supposed to be fair and balanced. This is why America can't think straight, why America doesn't have the necessary tools or the information to be able to make an informed decision. How can you possibly make an informed decision if you don't have enough information, or the information that is given to you is misinformation, disinformation, or a lie. That only means that your opinions formed on that are extensions of the lie. And America is living a lie right now. And I hate to use it as an analogy, but yeah, we are living in the Matrix, as the movie shows. We are living in a state of non-reality in this country simply because of the fact that our mainstream media and government officials aren't straight with the American people. And it was Thomas Jefferson that said, "I know of no greater repository for the truth than in the hands of the people." So it is absolutely imperative that we somehow regain control of integrity in the media. And until that happens, we won't even be able to think straight.
I think you're absolutely right. The key, of course, to saving America is to get people to hear the truth, and that's what you and Joyce are doing with the Power Hour. This is what we do here at Radio Liberty, and there are a handful of other people out there. Well, actually, there are quite a few out across the country that are trying to get the truth out. Now, there's a lot of disinformation. Believe me, the intelligence agencies have their agents actually planted in many of the publishing houses, certainly on the various networks, to create confusion and, of course, to defame and attack. People are trying to get the truth out, but, of course, if we're not being attacked, obviously we're not being effective. So I think you're doing a great job, and I congratulate you and Joyce for what you do, Dave, of bringing the truth to people all across America on a daily basis, 3 hours at the Power Hour. Why don't you tell our listeners how they can listen to your programs, would you?
Oh, well, sure, but I don't want to slough over you. Folks, Dr. Stan has been out here for a lot longer than Joyce and I have, and there are folks that have learned so much and whose lives have been turned around from the efforts that you've made through the years, and I want to give you the kudos that you deserve as well, because you and I and many others are in the same foxhole.
We are, certainly we are. But I want you to tell you, my listeners, how they can hear you and Joyce in your programs. And you might even put a plug in for Global Star where
sure.
You can be
well,
heard.
Sure. We're up on XM Radio now. So you can hear our broadcast from 8 until 10 p.m. Monday through Friday on channel 152 on XM Radio. So they carry the second and third hours in a rebroadcast. So if you have an XM, you can pick us up every night at 8 o'clock and listen to news that they hope that you never hear. You can also visit our website, thepowerhour.com. You can listen on international shortwave, live, and via a replay. And, of course, we're on Global Star, the satellite network that carries your broadcast as well. So there are many different ways that you can pick our program up. And I would hope that that you would all go and visit our website. And I say to folks, I realize that some of the information that we talk about on our radio show, and we've been talking about tonight, is way outside the confines of conventional wisdom. And I will say, folks, if I'm crazy, then somebody's got to stop me. But if I'm not crazy, it's up to us to stop them.
Well, I think there's no question at all that there is an organized, orchestrated effort to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, to replace it with a one-world government, a one-world religion, and of course, at the head of that will be the coming world leader. When you understand that, of course, everything really begins to fit into place. And, of course, they're going to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, they're going to destroy the stability of our currency, and they're going to bankrupt and impoverish our people. And, of course, you can go to www.globalstar, that's Global Star, one word, and once you get there, globalstar.com, and then, of course, you can just punch in channel number 4, and you can listen to the Power Hour there 9 hours a day. Now, of course, that's two rebroadcasts in the original program, and then, of course, you can hear Radio Liberty there 9 hours a day as well. So we have a unique opportunity to reach people on the Internet. Of course, you can get us also. That is the feed that goes to Telstar 5 satellite. If you get a Telstar 5 satellite, you need to have access to the truth. And unfortunately, you're not going to get it through regular places. Well, we've got Paula calling from Spokane. So, hi, Paula. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, Mr. Von Kleist. What do you think will happen with Iran?
What do you think is going to happen with Iran, Dave?
Well, I sincerely hope that we can somehow curtail this mad dash towards yet another war. Our military is already spread as thin as a transparent slice of bologna all over the world. I don't believe we have enough manpower. However, I do believe that the powers that be have the draft on the table. And if they pass this thing and end up with a draft, it's not just going to be our men. It's going to be, or shall I say, our boys. It'll be our girls as well that will have to serve. And as far as I'm concerned, they're just planning to throw our kids into a meat grinder. We've got to stop this.
Paula, we actually had a guest on at 3 o'clock this afternoon who is certainly intimately associated with the intelligence agencies and has been for many years. And it is his contention, and we've certainly have been following it for some time, that we'll be at war by the mid-August with Iran. And I'm going to try to get him on maybe Wednesday evening. Give him up my time there on my open line so that you can get a chance to hear him.
Oh, yep.
Okay, so you just keep on listening, okay?
Right.
Thank you for calling.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dave von Kleist. And, Dave, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program here.
Well, in 3 minutes, basically, it really doesn't take that much time to try to convey to the American people how important this particular time in our history is. And I will say right off the bat that our unborn grandchildren will either curse our complacency or they will applaud our activism. If this is supposed to be a government of, by, and for the people, then it's up to the people to do something and to stop this mad dash towards a fascist police state. I mean, there's no other way that we can describe this. I mean, I watched the video clips of what happened in Los Angeles this past weekend. And I can't help but ask myself the question, what does a police state look like?
But, of course, the thing is, I would simply ask, who organized that? I mean, it takes a lot of money to organize a major rally like that. Who's putting up the money? Who's providing the organizers? And, of course, much of this is being funded by our own government through funding of La Raza and Maldave, through congressional grants, and then, of course, the Ford Foundation. Remember the Ford Foundation? Which has tax-exempt money, has been funding subversion for a long period of time. And I'm talking about funding the activities of the Communist Party. I will tell you the Communist organizers are there, but they're not funded out of Russia. Russia doesn't have the money to fund the Communist Party. It's all being funded with your tax-exempt money, much of it from the great tax-exempt foundations and, of course, congressional authorized grants. So when you understand we are, in essence, financing our own destruction, and that, of course, they control both sides. They control the pro-immigration movement, they control the anti-immigration movement, and they do that so that there'll never be any real dissent. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, you're absolutely right, and for those that think that this is all just crazy conspiracy theory, I would suggest to you that you reconsider the notion of denial, because that's exactly what it is. And unless America can get over its denial and face these very hard facts, these very hard truths, then there's no hope for this country. But I do have an awful lot of hope, because people are waking up across this country. They're waking up in droves. The overwhelming majority of Americans now believe that 9/11 was indeed the official story is a lie. They also believe that the government had prior knowledge. And now the numbers are growing that this was not necessarily a let it happen scenario, but this indeed was a made it happen scenario, and there was definitely direct involvement by factions within our government.
We're out of time. God bless. Bye-bye. Thanks so much. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And remember that Dave von Kleist is going to be there as a speaker at the Conspiracy Conference on the weekend. I believe it's the 25th and 26th. Anyway, it's Saturday and Sunday there in Santa Clara and in California. If you'd like more information, I suggest you go to www.conspiracycon.com. Conspiracycon.com, or you can call our 800 number, and we'll get to the number there that you can call to make a reservation if you'd like to. And then, of course, if you'd like, of course, to get the DVDs and actually see what really happened on 9/11, we carry the DVD by David. It's called In Plain Sight, 9/11 Mystery, 9/11 Plea for the Truth, Terror Storm, put together by Alex Jones, and The Day That Changed America Forever by our good friend David Wagner. All of these DVDs, excellent. We recommend them. And then, of course, we've got some four-tape sets. 911 update, interviews with certainly the people like Jimmy Walters, who, because he was spending so much money of his own, millions of dollars, running ads and television commercials in New York City, convincing people they'd been lied to. He was threatened many times. Today he's living in hiding in Europe. You need to get my newsletters, certainly August through December of 2006. They're available at our website at RadioLiberty.com. We have some new four-tape sets. Why did the buildings come down? Why did the buildings come down? My interviews with people who were there working on Building 7, with William Rodriguez, of course, who was there on the morning of the North Tower and felt the explosion in the basement, before the plane hit the North Tower. And then, of course, you need to have the information. You need to hear these four tape sets. You need to watch the DVDs. And then let's put things into their proper perspective. Now, I do not believe that we are fighting for profit. I believe that there's another motivation. Certainly, a lot of people are making a lot of money. But I believe, of course, there is a spiritual component behind what's going on. If you want to know why I really believe we are in Iraq and Afghanistan today, you need to get our February newsletter, February 2007. It's available at RadioLiberty.com. February newsletter, RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, for a summary of what happened, why I suggest my pamphlets, the three of them, Foreknowledge 911, or the pamphlets on, the letters of the website, August through December of 2006. And get them, read them through several times, and understand that, of course, one of the highest-ranking CIA officials admitted that when the dust finally clears, the American people will realize that what happened was not a failure of intelligence, but a triumph. We carry the book that comes from. It's called See No Evil by Robert Baer. If you want to know where Al-Qaeda came from, where the whole Islamic terrorist movement came from, the book to get is The Devil's Game. It is financed with your tax money, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, if you believe that Osama bin Laden was really behind what happened on 911, maybe you better get the FBI to understand, because they don't know he was behind 911. If you go to the FBI webpage and look under the 10 most wanted men, they have Osama bin Laden there, and of course they want him for the bombing of our embassies in Africa, but no mention of 911. You mean to tell me the FBI doesn't have any evidence that Osama bin Laden was involved in 911, and we went to war with Afghanistan and with Iraq, all based upon something that wasn't true? But if you don't have access to that webpage, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you the FBI picture of Osama bin Laden, one of the 10 most wanted men in America, and understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. Pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the second hour tonight, well, it's going to be the views of our good friend Glenn Spencer of American Patrol. That's American Patrol, an American Border Patrol. And Glenn is down there on the border. He's been working for many years at his own expense. He doesn't get paid for what he does, just as we don't get paid for what we do. But he's been down there, Chris, so he can report to the American people what's really happening on the border. Now, many of you will remember last year, during the closing part of the congressional session, why Congress passed and the President signed legislation to build a 700-mile fence within the along the border, and the legislation called for building that fence within 18 months. And, of course, the whole idea is we're going to build a fence along our border and try to stop illegal immigration. Now, remember, the Indians have been able to build a 2,000-mile fence between India and Bangladesh to keep the radical Islamic people from coming into India and disrupting their society. So if India, with their limited resources, can build a 2,000-mile fence along a very rugged borderline between India and Bangladesh, you would think that America might be able to build a 700-mile fence, especially when the money's been appropriated. The President promised he would, go ahead and build that fence. And the President has promised, given his word to the American people, sign the legislation. And so, Glenn Spencer, how are they coming with that 700-mile fence the President promised to build for us along the border? Let's see if we can get Glenn. Glenn, what happened to that 700-mile fence that the President was promised to build for us?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yes. Well, the 700-mile fence that was dictated by the law, signed by the President on October 26th, has turned out to be 2 miles in 6 months, and we now estimate it's going to take them 150 years to finish it.
Well, they're not really trying very hard. Well, why don't they want to put up a fence and control our borders? Certainly, if we have a war on terrorism, the terrorists can come in across that border and bring in nuclear weapons or biological or chemical weapons. You would think that the President Bush would, if he really believes there's a war on terrorism, would really want to build that 700-mile fence. In fact, you'd think he'd want to build a fence all along the 2,000 miles of the border between Mexico and the United States. So you say they've built about, 2 or 3 miles of that fence so far?
Yes.
But I thought a lot of that had been done before they passed the legislation.
It really had. It's more like a half mile that they've done in 6 months.
Well, let's see, at that rate, it would take about, 700 years or something like that. No, probably not that.
Yes,
that
it will. This is a deception of biblical proportions, Dr. Stan.
All right, now I understand that you've been out flying along the border there and actually watching what's going on. Tell us, really, of course, what is really going on the border.
Well, we have an airplane. I'm the pilot. And last month, we got clearance from the FAA, people that I know, to fly along the border while in Mexico and with our special equipment, photograph and videograph the border near Yuma, Arizona, where there is a special top secret bombing range called the Goldwater Range.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment.
I beg your pardon?
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment. All right. Go right ahead. You're telling us about this 50 miles of border, which, of course, is is off limits to everybody. It's basically a bombing range called the Goldwater bombing range.
Goldwater bombing range.
So what happened?
A huge portion of land, and you cannot fly over it. As a pilot, I will tell you, there are huge restricted zones in that part of Arizona, and it goes up to 80,000 feet. The top of the restricted zone is 80,000 feet. So even airliners can't fly over it. Nobody can fly over it. But we were able to fly along it, along the border, in Mexico, as long as we didn't land. And so we took our cameras and we flew along this bombing range just inside in Mexico. And what we saw was stunning. And we made a high-definition video of this, and it's available. We saw mile after mile of an open border. No fence.
No, I understand.
No fence, but just along the border is a Mexican Highway 2, only about, 1,500 feet. It runs for 50 miles. And what we saw was tracks leading from this Mexican highway, leading north, hundreds, if not thousands, of tire tracks leaving this highway and running into the United States. And we couldn't believe it. And we as a crew were flying along, and we narrate as we're talking, we have the intercom patched into the video. And we were talking, and we were saying amongst ourselves, what? Look at this. There is no fence. This is a bombing range. There isn't even a warning sign. And we couldn't believe our eyes. And you know what? I don't think anyone has ever seen this, because you can't fly over it in the United States. It's illegal. They won't let you in. But I was able to get into Mexico and fly along. And I showed it to a seasoned Border Patrol guy who was retired, and tears came into his eyes. He finally realized this had been going on for 50 years, and nobody had seen it.
And of course,
billions of dollars of drugs were running right into the United States, and we made no attempt to stop it.
And, of course, they could also be other chemical or biological or nuclear weapons. And they're not trying to stop it either.
Well, we smuggled weapons.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Glenn Spencer, and he's describing having had the opportunity, and just in the last week or so, to fly along the Mexican border on the Mexican side. And there's a highway about 1,500 feet from the edge of the border. There's no signs along the border. There's no fence along the border. It's 50 miles long there where they have this bombing range and all sorts of tracks where, of course, vehicles are simply taking off the highway and driving up to the bombing range, bringing in certainly illegal immigrants, bringing in drugs, maybe bringing in all sorts of terrorist paraphernalia, and no effort being made to stop them. Certainly the Border Patrol people can't even go in there to enforce the
law. They cannot go in there. And so what we saw was clear evidence of malfeasance at the highest level of our government.
And certainly, since it's controlled by the military, you would think that they have troops along the border to defend their bombing range so that people wouldn't go in there and accidentally get killed.
There was not a sign, not a warning sign, nothing for 50 miles. And thousands of tracks leading across the desert, across this bombing range, into the United States. Interstate 10 was only 20 miles away.
So all they have to do is drive across the bombing range, of course, get on Interstate 10, and they're home free then.
Home free. Home free. Covered up by a military operation so that they could bring their drugs in. And Dr. Stan, there was no question. This is on They have it on the internet. You can go look at it yourself. I'm not making it up.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get onto your internet site and get on
your
website?
Well, you can go on AmericanBorderPatrol.com and go on there, and it says, here's the Yuma Report. And you can click on there, and you can watch us fly along that border, and you can see what we saw. And then I went back, and I interjected a little audio in there, and I said, we were all saying, look at this. We were, as a crew, as a flight crew, as we were flying along 500 feet off the deck, look at this. What on earth? And here we had sophisticated young men who were flying with me on this mission. One an Army sniper, another former police officer, couldn't believe their eyes as they saw mile after mile after mile of tracks leading out off this Mexican highway into the United States.
Well, I think that our listeners need to understand that our leaders have no loyalty to America. Their loyalty is this internationalist dream of the New World Order, the New World Religion, with a New World Leader, and that's why they're not enforcing our immigration laws. There are, I mean, these go back to 1986 when they brought in the immigration law that year, promises there would never be another amnesty. There would be only about 1 million people would be given their, you know, their American citizenship and allowed to stay. There was only 1 million illegal immigrants at the time. But they were going to, of course, to have just one amnesty. There would never be another amnesty. And they were going to start enforcing the laws on us and on the people who were hiring illegal immigrants illegally. And then they were going to guard the border. And they were going to set up a program for you know, people coming in, field workers, so they could come in and harvest the crops. And then they would go back home again. They'd be here, but they would be under control when they were in this country. And certainly everything was to be done to prevent the invasion of our country by illegal immigrants. And what has happened is, first of all, they lied about the number of immigrants that were here. There were not 1 million, there were 3 million. Secondly, they refused at that point under the Reagan administration, under the first Bush administration, under the Clinton administration, and now under the second Bush administration, until within about the last 6 months. They've steadfastly refused to enforce our laws. How could you refuse to enforce laws when the presidents have promised, you know, to uphold our Constitution and to defend our country against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Certainly the people who are destroying the sovereignty of our land are our domestic enemies, aren't they?
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, we have the president of Mexico who's declared that they are taking back land by migratory means. The evidence is very clear. This is La Reconquista. And our government is aiding and abetting an enemy to invade our country.
And I think that's really what's so difficult for the American people to believe, is that we have leaders who have no loyalty to America. The enemy, I would point out, is not over in Pakistan hiding in a cave. The enemy is here in the United States, and he looks just like you and me, and he talks about, you know, being concerned about what's going on and about fighting terrorism and how we have to be mobilized ourselves against terrorism and sending our boys over there to fight terrorism. But the terrorists are not going to take away our freedom. Our freedom is being taken away by the people who are doing everything they can to undermine our sovereignty and destroy our constitutional guarantees of freedom. And when our young men go overseas to fight for freedom and to fight and bleed and suffer and die on the sands of you know, of Iraq or in the poppy fields of Afghanistan, why, we're losing our freedom here at home. So anyway, Glenn, you've been out of this battle for a long time. You give us your idea of what's going on.
Before the war in Iraq started, I was on the Heartland with Kasich, MSNBC, nationwide. I was involved in a debate over the border. And I stopped and I said, look, here we are, about to go halfway around the world to attack a country that is no direct threat to us, when every night over 3,000 people cross our border from a country who believes this is their land. What is wrong with this? I said that on national television before the Iraq War. I worked in the Pentagon during the Vietnam War. I was a young man. I was a specialist. I was on a special team that advised the Joint Chiefs of Staff on the progress of the war in Southeast Asia. I was a civilian review, a part of a civilian review board. I have strategic and tactical military analytical experience. I knew that Saddam Hussein was no threat to us. Saddam Hussein knew he was no threat to us. The president knew he was no threat to us. We were deceived. We were lied to. We were had over that whole process.
In fact,
I knew it.
And that's essentially what a general, four-star Marine General Zinni said when he appeared, certainly, on the 60 Minutes, and we actually cover his testimony in a couple of my articles.
It was simple. There wasn't even a question. He was no threat to us. He couldn't fly over two-thirds of his country. We have 3,000 cruise missile pointed at his nose. Had he fired a pop gun over the border, he would have been annihilated, and he knew it. But we were deceived by people at the highest level of our government, including the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Well, of course, what we need to do, of course, is understand that the battle is not overseas. The battle is here. And we need to pull our troops back and have them defending America. And my fear is, of course, when the chaos breaks out here, there are not going to be any American troops. They're all going to be overseas as they were, you know, when, of course, the New Orleans disaster came into this, and they had to bring in their professional killers, their Blackwater mercenaries, but to patrol the streets of New Orleans. And I don't want mercenary troops. I don't want, of course, mercenary armed guards coming in and patrolling the streets of America. I would far rather have the National Guard, but there weren't any National Guard. They were all elsewhere. So I think it's about time the American people woke up and understand that there are people at the highest levels of our government who have no loyalty to the United States. They have a different agenda because they march to a different drumbeat. They hear the sound of a different trumpet. They dream a different dream.
It's global capitalism. Capitalism where the corporate giants control the world's resources and are answerable to no one.
Well, I think the thing is that I'm all in favor of free enterprise, but capitalism is not free enterprise. Capitalism is monopoly. Capitalism is using government so there will be no competition. Competition is what, you know, gives us the best products. Monopoly, of course, gives a certain small group the greatest profit, but it really prevents the competition, which allows the eminence of the corporations to be challenged. And this is the fear. This has always been the plan. In fact, if you go back and read Edward Bellamy's book written in 1880 called Looking Backwards, where some fellow falls asleep and wakes up in the year 2000, and what is the status of the world? Why, at that point, according to Bellamy, why, a credit card would be just as good as Europe as gold once was. And there would be one great corporation that ruled the world. All the corporations having merged under this one great corporation, and now we live in a wonderful utopia. That was the plan in 1880 as to what would be going on today. Well, it hasn't quite got to that point, but this is exactly where we're headed. As we move, and the corporations begin to consolidate. And there's a wonderful book called When the Corporations Rule the World. Ladies and gentlemen, this has nothing to do with freedom or free enterprise. They call it fascism. But then, after all, if fascism prospers, why, I guess nobody's going to call it fascism. We'll be back with Glenn Spencer, and we'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We're moving away from freedom, and Glenn is down there on the border trying to let you know what's going on. When we get back, we want you to know how to get to his website and how to support him. Glenn's doing a great job keeping the American people advised what's really going on. Well, Glenn, of course, because you're down there on the border, and my understanding is that there's been somewhat of a cutback, at least in recent weeks, on the amount of immigration. Have any idea of why that is? That we're certainly not apprehending as many people as we have in the past.
Well, last month we saw a 30% jump over the month before. But Dr. Stan, you see, I have the ability, because of some resources that I have at my command, I can look over my shoulder and see a mathematical indicator of the level of traffic. Now, earlier today we talked, and I said that the traffic along the border for the last 7 days was about half of what we had seen over the last 2 years. I can now report to you, Doctor, that it's now turned around. Over the last 4 hours, it's now up to almost normal. So we see these variations. As a matter of fact, it's a little above normal right now, the level of traffic. We see it jumping back up. We're working on trying to understand why this is. We do have an objective measurement, and I can't tell you how we do it, but we do have an objective mathematical measurement that tells us what the traffic is. And for the last 7 days, it's been very low. But strangely enough, over the last 2.5 hours, it's been very high, and they are very busy.
Well, of course, do you think that the Mexican government is actually encouraging illegals to come into this country?
We don't know. We're trying to learn this. We have the ability to do this. If with enough government, with enough public support, financial support, because it takes people to do this. It takes smart people to do this, and we're spread very thin. And that's why we're a 501c3, a nonprofit. Well, we have the technology to do it. We know how to do it. We know how to get at it. But we just don't have the resources to apply it right now.
Well, Chris, when we talked earlier today, you were talking about Lou Dobbs on 60 Minutes last night. Lou Dobbs has been a very outspoken critic of illegal immigration. Lou Dobbs appears to be a very, very honest man. And certainly they were doing everything they could, on the 60 Minute program to make him look very, very foolish.
Well, I watched Lou Dobbs tonight, and our feature on American Patrol, which focused on the SPLC, he went after that as well. And it's a little complicated, but what Lou Dobbs said was he had not made a mistake on this leprosy question. We thought he had. I might have been wrong. But regardless, he did focus on the idea that the 60 Minutes had essentially joined with the Southern Poverty Law Center to try to discredit him.
Well, basically, for our listeners, they did a 60-minute interview with Lou Dobbs, and they pointed out that one of the reporters had told him on a program that there had been, I think it was 7,000 cases of leprosy, and was it in 3 years? What was it? What was the figure?
Over 3 years.
Over
yes.
A period of 3 years, and of course they said, well, of course that was all wrong. It was really 7,000 cases of leprosy over 30 years, and how foolish he was to have made that, how inaccurate everything he said was. And then they went to the Southern, Southern Poverty Center, a law center, and they said, oh, yeah, well, Lou Dobbs is saying that everybody who comes into the country has leprosy. He's saying everybody who comes into the country has leprosy. How ridiculous. And that isn't what he said at all. He was simply quoting CDC statistics.
As Lou Dobbs pointed out.
Hold that thought just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly 60 Minutes did a typical CBS hatchet job on Lou Dobbs this last weekend when they pointed out that they showed a session where he had actually been talking to one of his reporters who made the comment that there were 7,000 cases of leprosy, Sydney, during this last 3 years. Now, leprosy was almost unknown during the years I practiced medicine in the United States that closed down the leprosarium. There were only very, very few cases. Leprosy was well controlled in the United States. But when you open your borders to people coming from countries where leprosy is endemic, you're going to get more cases. So the figure that was put forward was the fact that this reporter had told Lou Dobbs, and Lou had not challenged it, he had accepted what he was told, that there had been 3,000 cases of leprosy in 3 years. Well, then, of course, a reporter from 60 Minutes comes in and says, no, that was not true. It was 3,000 cases over 30 years.
And no, 7,000.
I'm sorry, 7,000 cases over 30 years. And then they go to the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they have the fellow says, oh, yeah, Lou Dobbs, totally irresponsible. He says that there are 11 million people coming in, all of them with leprosy, and of course, words to that effect. And 60 Minutes didn't challenge the guy from Southern Poverty Law Center, who totally misrepresented what Lou Dobbs had said. So you pick up the story there. What did Lou Dobbs say
today? As Lou Dobbs said tonight, okay, he defended the figure of 7,000 in 3 years that he got from Dr. Madeline Cosman, who recently passed away, in a formal publication, peer-reviewed. I still question that, but regardless, what Lou pointed out was that over the last 4.5 years, he has done three reports on the problems of the health problems related to immigration and illegal immigration. Not as if he's saying this every night, night after night. And he did a very good job of defending himself and pointing out the inaccuracies and the propaganda that is spewed out of the Southern Poverty Law Center. But the idea that 60 Minutes would use this discredited, anti-American, vicious, hate-mongering organization as an authority speaks volumes about where the media is today.
And where 60 Minutes is coming from, because the Southern Poverty Law Center is one of the most disreputable organizations in the entire nation.
That's correct. They have, you know, like $200 million to go out and attack people like me. And they've been after me for 7 years. Morris Dees has been spewing lies about me for 7 years, making up stuff, lying, hoping, I guess, that I would try to sue him and drain me dry of all my resources in the courts. He is a vicious, anti-American traitor, and he and his organization were put on a pedestal by 60 Minutes. Let's understand that. They were put on a pedestal by 60 Minutes, and it is shameless.
And I watched that last night, because most people don't understand the Southern Poverty Law Center, as I do and as you do. But you have to understand, 60 Minutes did a hatchet job trying to discredit Lou Dobbs and said, you know, certainly, I mean, how do
they
you feel about being called racist, you know? And he said, I'm not a racist, I'm married to a Mexican.
Dave, 60 Minutes is beginning to show itself for what it really is. And America must understand that they're not alone. This runs deep within Hollywood, within the media. This is why we're in such trouble today, is that these people have had their hands on the controls of the information that flows into the television sets and the front rooms of America for the last 30 to 40 years, and we better put a stop to it.
Amen to that. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. Before we do, though, would you like to tell us how people can get to your website?
Well, the nonprofit website is AmericanBorderPatrol.com. We're a 501c3. I'm right on the border right now in southeastern Arizona. We run a ranch down here. And I will tell you right now, it is very busy down here. They are flooding across right now.
These are the illegal immigrants, of course.
That's correct. And we're at AmericanBorderPatrol.com. We're a 501c3, a nonprofit corporation. Donations are tax deductible. But boy, it is really picking up right now.
And that always does a tremendous job, and this is why we have him on work. I'll be back here in just a moment. And of course, we'll welcome your calls. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question for our guest this evening?
Yeah, I do. I understand the government's buying up land in preparation for the NAFTA superhighway, and I was just wondering, is there any active movement to stop this thing?
Certainly, 18 states now have passed resolutions opposing the superhighway and the North American Union.
Yeah.
There's a battle going on in Texas right now.
Yeah.
There is rising opposition. And even as we speak, there is rising activity directed by George Bush to push it through.
And in fact, I think, Ray, the Texas legislature, I mean, I don't have the exact figures, but it's something like 145-1 against the NAFTA highway, and suggesting that, you know, there'd be a 2-year moratorium. Maybe there are 3 or 4 on one side. All the rest were on the other side. And I think in the Senate, there was only 1 vote for it. Everybody was against it. But it doesn't matter what our elected representatives want. It doesn't matter what the American people want.
No.
There is an elite, and George Bush represents that elite. He's a member of Skull and Bones. He's a member of the Bohemian Grove. And these are both deeply involved with the occult. And the occult desire is to destroy the sovereignty of our country. That's why, of course, they're doing everything they can to destroy the integrity of our financial system, to expand the police power of the central authority, and, of course, to kill off our boys over there. And
you know that when
our boys come home from Iraq, within 3 months, at least 30% of them are ill. And as the longer it goes, the more become ill. So, you know, unfortunately, this is the reality of what's going on. So, yes, but the people, there is real opposition. I think that people like Glenn Spencer and Dr. Jerome Corsi and the talk shows that are conservative are getting the word out. Lou Dobbs is getting a tremendous amount of information out. People all across America are concerned about the NAFTA highway, about the Security and Prosperity Partnership, and what we need to do, you need to do, is help us get that information out.
I will, as much as I can. You know, what really scares me, I think, is the media is getting worse. You know, the mainstream media is getting worse, not better, as far as, you know, their reporting, everything. It just seems like it's all propaganda.
They're getting desperate.
Yeah.
Because they know what they have done over the years. And they're afraid. They're frightened.
They're afraid of the American people.
They ought to be.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment after Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Ray, if you're calling from Santa Cruz, had asked if there's any opposition to the NAFTA highway. And certainly, as Glenn had pointed out, that 18 states have passed resolutions against this. And we pointed out that in Texas, the legislature voted overwhelmingly, both in the House and the Senate, to put a 2-year moratorium on the NAFTA highway. The federal government's saying, you do that, we're going to cut off all your federal funds, and we're not going to give any money for highways. You can't do that. You don't have a right. I mean, we control things, and if you try to defy us, we'll make your life miserable. And the state legislature is saying, this is our state, and we don't want the highway in. And despite the fact that they're, of course, buying this property up, using eminent domain to buy it under value, destroying people's lives, and, of course, planning on this massive highway that, of course, will be utilized.
Which will destroy our trucking industry, too.
And to destroy our Teamster industry and destroy our jobs.
Yeah.
The people don't want it, but the elite do. And there is a globalist elite that has a different agenda. What's your response to that, Glenn?
Well, I think the people are beginning to react. The people are beginning to speak out across the country.
I have.
We've seen it with the Minutemen coming down to the border. We've seen it with these votes by state legislatures. We've seen it. And by the way, I did a Google search this morning, and I wrote down immigration, and I said news. And I saw paper after paper after paper, 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago, 1 hour ago, articles on this issue all across the country, because the people are waking up and seeing that they're being threatened and their livelihoods, not only by the free trade and the exporting of jobs and the $10 trillion budget deficit, not deficit, but the foreign debt, the foreclosure on housing, the corporate the stock, the Dow Jones stock skyrocketing because they're making all their money overseas.
That's right. And, of course, you know, Bill Clinton brought his NAFTA, and, of course, I don't trust Hillary as far as I could throw her, but I can see that, you know, they put her in there because she's just a continuation of having Bill Clinton in there, you know.
Absolutely.
To mess things up. You know,
NAFTA was a disaster.
The NAFTA.
Continues to be. I fought it. I've been at this thing over almost 16 years. I fought NAFTA. It was a lie. It is still a lie. It was supposed to stop illegal immigration. We said it would increase it. It did.
Mm-hmm.
So these people have been lying for so many years, but they get away with it because the media
right.
are in on the game.
And those poor Mexican farmers that lost their corn crops because they subsidized that corn, you know, down in, because of NAFTA, they subsidized corn, didn't they? In Mexico?
Well, there's still restrictions. There are still restrictions because, yes, they were afraid that the Mexican farmers would be put out of business
right.
and they would all fled to the cities and come north.
Right.
So there have been some restrictions still placed on that.
Mm.
But still, we don't have the time to go into it.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But NAFTA was a continuation of a policy set up by the Mexican government in 1965. In the maquiladora plant to move their population north and cross the border.
That's right, yeah. I can see that right now.
Okay, anything else, Raven?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, well, thanks very much. But your job is just to talk to everybody you can, and believe me, there's a lot of things to be encouraged about. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Don't get discouraged. Okay, for our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Our guest is Glenn Spencer of Border Patrol, American Patrol, or American Border Patrol. And so it's in the American Patrol or American Border Patrol. Go to his website, get his information, and then help Glenn as he's got a lonely job down there, but he keeps us abreast of what's really going on. Now, is the Minuteman movement growing or shrinking, or are they being effective?
Well, the Minuteman movement was very important, and I supported it when it happened over 2 years ago. It kind of has run its course. What they did was come down and call attention to the problem at the border. But for individuals to come down and sit in lawn chairs with field glasses, that gets old pretty fast. You have to have a more systematic approach. And I'm not deluding them, but they no longer come down here. We are using high technology. We're right on the border. We do have volunteers who come down, including Minutemen, and work with us. But they did a very good job for what they did. And I would say probably... if that ever happens again, Katie, bar the door, because it's not going to be nice.
Well, I think it's important that what the Minutemen did was to focus attention on an issue, and that is a very important thing. You see, we're playing an ideological game. The other side does this all the time, and of course, like 60 Minutes with a hatchet job on Lou Dobbs last night. You know, because, you know, they try to give you the idea that Lou Dobbs is a racist. That's why he's irresponsible. He's, he shoots his mouth off without any background or without any information. And but we have to be responsible. Boy, we have to be 100% right. But the Minutemen, at least we're down there, they dramatize the issue. When you dramatize an issue, then you begin to get people's attention focused on it. An issue which the media does not want the American people to understand. But I think the Minutemen played a very important part. And
well, very important, and I supported them, and I went back to Washington with them, and so forth. But, I had done the same thing about 2 years earlier, bringing volunteers down to the border and so forth. But it's very difficult to continue... that kind of process, being vigilant, sitting in a lawn chair for 4 or 5 days and seeing nothing. You have to have a systematic way of going about it, almost a military operation without the guns of high tech, bringing in the resources that are necessary to make efficient use of manpower. The Minutemen didn't really have that. They didn't have the resources to do that. But we have it, and we're beginning to do that. But they did a great job. They called attention to the question, the issues, and I'm glad they did.
And I think that certainly Jerome Corsi, Dr. Corsi, is doing a lot of writing, a lot of radio programs, and I can always call him, any time of the day. And
he and I met down at Laredo, Texas, last September on 9/11, the anniversary. We were together down there when we posted all of those American flags, and he and I had a nice meeting. And he's a great American.
He is. And so, I mean, just a few people are out there on the front lines. Glenn, Jerome, and certainly the group there that are working with Jim Gilchrist is certainly working in
Jim
California.
Jim Gilchrist, a great American. He's just recently gone through some troubles with his organization. And I hope he gets through it. I think he will. But it is a struggle that is going to take the initiative of every American, because we're not, unlike the other wars we fought, we're not being led from the top.
Amen to that.
Our government is against it.
Well, let's go to Jack, who's calling from Michigan. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Jack, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I do. First, a comment about 60 Minutes. Charles Lewis, who used to do documentary production for 60 Minutes, appeared in a documentary called Orwell Rose in His Grave. I tell you what, that really documents everything you and your guests have been describing tonight relative to the media's disinformation propaganda machine. Just extraordinarily well documented. And the question I've got is whether the guest has ever given any thought to encouraging retired special forces people who could very well prove to be highly patriotic and would welcome the opportunity to come down there and participate. And the second question is, what about the National Guard? Were they all sequestered over to the new Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well, I think we did have National Guard troops put down there. Whatever happened to those the president brought down?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, special forces, those kinds of expertise, American Border Patrol can use technical expertise. We have a 104-acre ranch down here. We can use people who are seriously competent, right?
Yeah.
Especially in observation and use the application of technology because we have high technology.
But because you are not involved, you're not involved in trying to intercept people or using violence or guns or anything
at all. It's detection and identification, and then reporting, because we report to the American people what we see. We have never interfered with anybody. We don't apprehend anybody, but we document it. As far as the National Guard is concerned, you have to understand that one of our roles is to use our aircraft to do an inventory. In fact, Wednesday morning, I will be flying the border from New Mexico all the way over to California. I will be flying the border at 500 feet using high technology and doing aerial surveillance. We will tell you exactly how many National Guard are on the border that can be seen. The most that we have ever counted in that run from Yuma over to New Mexico is 116. There are not as many as they say. They really stacked them up in Yuma, all up and down the Colorado River for that little 14-mile segment where our border takes a turn. But that was for a dog and pony show for the President of the United States. But there are not as many as they say, but we will report where they are and how many. We know how to do that.
So we'll look forward to getting Jack, I mean, getting Glenn back again, Jack, to tell us what's going on. But a lot of this is simply showbiz. It's all
no
a matter of perception.
What,
pardon?
No question about it.
And it's all
it's
smoke
showbiz.
And mirrors. It's rhetoric over reality. Yep. We've got to get the American people to think that they're really going to do something about immigration.
What about the two Border Patrol guys that were put into prison?
Ramos and Compion.
Did Homeland Security have something to do with that?
Yeah, they lied about it. They brought in agents who said that they were going to go out hunting for Mexicans when it turns out that that was a lie. They withheld evidence from the jury. Last Friday night, I had the wife and father-in-law of Ramos at my ranch with Tom Tancredo. We had a cookout here with Tancredo and a lot of the border ranchers, and they were telling their story as well. This whole thing with Sutton, the U.S. attorney, and Gonzalez, the U.S. Attorney General, all conspiring against these young men.
How did they ever get the jury to go along, that we know?
Because they were misled. There was information withheld from them, and they were intimidated.
Were they really intimidated? In other words, were pressure put on them to come up with a guilty plea?
Absolutely.
Even if they didn't think so?
No question about it.
All right,
there are 95 congressmen now who have signed on a demand for amnesty for these young men, and the president won't even talk about it.
Yeah. All right, thanks so much for calling, Jack. And let's go to Bruce calling from Spokane. Hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Dr. Mann?
Doing great. Do you have a question for our
yes,
guest?
Yes, I do. both of you are saying that we need to get the public aware of what's going on. And actually, I think that the public's been aware of it for some time, but the people that are truly aware have, done due diligence and contacted their congressmen and senators and newspapers, and they are being just shot down on a regular basis here. It is as if your congressmen and senators don't care or are co-conspirators in this, and are just telling the populace or their constituents what they believe they want them to hear. And that's exactly what I'm getting back for responses from my Congress women and senators.
All right, fine. Well, could I suggest, Bruce, that you let everyone you know about those responses, and let your congresswoman know that you're going to remember next November exactly how she voted and exactly what she did. And you see, lots of times, then it gets towards the election, then they'll change their position to bring
it. Well, they only change it for the purpose of assuaging your feelings at the last minute.
Right,
and they switch over.
Let her know that you're not going to be taken in.
Let's point out one thing. There was a huge debate over this issue last year in the Congress of the United States.
Well,
what came out of it?
It made them sweat for
a
little
bit,
and they just gave him some smoke and mirrors, dog and pony.
Now, wait a minute. We had a law passed, signed by the President of the United States on October 26th, called the Secure Fence Act of 2006. It's only 3 or 4 pages long, and it directs the Secretary of Homeland Security to build a 700-mile double fence and have it done in 18 months.
We heard what you said, how much was built.
But the point is this. This is where we have to hammer them. 67% of the House of Representatives said yes. 82% of the Senate said yes. And they're not building it.
Well,
this is called anarchy.
Well, it's not. We don't want to see anarchy in this country, but it may come. Well, this is for Dr. Stan. I have talked to countless numbers of people, and most people have virtually given up on any hope of their government ever doing the right thing, ever. And they have a malaise that is just paralyzing.
You're
because
absolutely.
They don't believe that that we'll ever get anything done through our government. They're our own enemies.
Well, I think that the government has always been the enemy of the people.
Well, it
that
has.
Was why the American government was created as it was to limit the power of the government over the lives of the people. We have actually some excellent opportunities this year. We have candidates who really believe in the Constitution running for the presidency.
I believe we should
go out of our way to back them and to fight.
Support Ron Paul. I would be selling some, personal assets to support him. But don't you think that this is possibly the worst time for the most constitutional and most, a person with the most integrity to ever be put into office?
Well, I think we have to try, Bruce. I mean, we can't just give up, and I believe that we can have an impact. And, of course, but remember that behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces.
I understand. My friends have just given up. They've just thrown up their hands and they said, eat, drink, and be merry.
Well, I think, of course, that is exactly what cowards do. Men of integrity take a stand. I've been at this, Bruce, for 45 years.
And give me a chance and I'll step right in again.
God bless.
You too.
And don't let them get you discouraged.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Well, Glenn, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, that was an excellent call.
And there are a lot of people out there who say, gee, there's nothing I can do. Yes, there's a lot you can do. I'm one person. You're one person. I mean, you're not, you're doing what you're doing on your own because you believe in it. My wife and I do what we're doing. I'm retired orthopedic surgeon. I have no expertise in what I'm doing. What I have, I've developed on my own. And just as you put together an organization, so we have any one of our listeners. Bruce can do the same thing. What we need is more organizations, more people, or the people who can't put together an organization, they're getting in and supporting those of us who are doing the things.
The United States Army recently had a motto called an army of one. And that's what we're going to need. All an army of one American at a time, deciding that they're going to save their nation for their children and their posterity. And they're going to be smart enough to figure out, just like you have done and I have done and others, what they need to do to save the country.
And we have to understand what America was about. We have to understand our Constitution. We have to understand that the congressmen and the senators, most of them, have sworn an oath to defend our nation against, enemies both foreign and domestic, and then they have become those very enemies. And what we need is apply the Act on Terrorism. The Act on Terrorism says the terrorist is somebody who wants to change our form of government. Why, that's most of the people there in the House of Representatives and the Senate. They are changing our form of government. And we've got to let people understand that there's a name for it. It's called treason. And, of course, the old idea, treason never doth prosper, because if it prospers, none dare call it treason. We need to shout it from the housetops. America is a unique country where we were guaranteed our God-given rights. And let's start taking them back. Glenn Spencer, thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you so much.
And we will look forward to having you on again real soon. Anything comes up, you'll be sure to call me. We'll get you on.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless. All right, fine. And Glenn Spencer, remember, it's American Patrol and American Border Patrol. I go to his website, support Glenn. I mean, he's doing a great job, and I'm sure he can utilize your support. And will appreciate anything that you can do for him. Tell others about his organization. I mean, we are each individuals, but we're all working for a common cause, and that is to save America for generations yet unborn. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters or taking our newsletter. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, and remember, we are not 501c3. We are specifically not tax-exempt because I want to be able to tell you the truth. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Now, we have a 74 tape sets on immigration, several of them. We have a very good DVD that was done by Glenn Spencer called The Conquest of Aslan. We have a video, of course, a talk that was given by David Rockefeller, who is the architect of all of this, called American Union 2005. And they had really planned to have their North American Union by 2005, and it just didn't work out. But it's fascinating to watch this gentleman, the most wealthy man in America, talking about how they're going to bring about this North American Union. And then, of course, we actually have David Rockefeller's memoirs, where he will tell you, on page 405, some people, accuse my family and myself of being part of a secret cabal that's conspiring to bring about a new economic order, or international economic order. And if that's the charge, I plead guilty. I'm a proud internationalist. He has a right to be a proud internationalist. That's his right, but you have to understand that's a treasonous statement, especially when he controls the government, the organization, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, these organizations that control our government. And that's a treasonous act, at least according to the various legislation we have that says if you are trying to change our form of government, that is what terrorism is all about. Certainly we have the book Minutemen by Jerome Corsi. We have our four tape sets with interviews with Dr. Jerome Corsi on globalism. We have, of course, a book called Fighting Immigration Anarchy and so much more. You can go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like more information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, how do we understand the response of so many people who just don't want to hear the truth? Or say, let's eat, drink, and be married. Well, there is a spiritual component of what's going on. There is a spiritual blindness there. And we've got to remove the fog from their eyes. And then, of course, if you have not yet seen my talk on the forbidden secret, you need to get it. That's the forbidden secret, because there is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. Did you ever wonder how it was that Alexander the Great, with a Macedonian army of about 35,000 men, was able to take on armies of 300,000, 500,000 people and win the battles? How could that be? Because Alexander the Great understood the secret, and we give you the references going back to a book that was written about 100 A.D. by Plutarch, called Plutarch's The Age of Alexander, quoting what Alexander wrote about the mysteries that he was privy to. He understood the secret we write about in my talk, The Forbidden Secret. You need to get it. Along, of course, with my talk, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and Chris Pinto's excellent DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And then, of course, we have a great new four-tape set. It's called The Secret Behind the Secret, as we address Rhonda Byrne's program that is sweeping the nation, certainly recommended by Oprah Winfrey and by Larry King and by Jack Canfield, who wrote The Chicken Soup for the Soul, and by Jim Carrey. But you need to understand what is behind this and why it is so significant that it's coming forward at this time. You need to see the new talk by Constance Cumby, The Emergence, on DVD or video. And then, of course, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.